Hello and welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. It's Monday and you get a bonus episode. Yay! Happy 4th of July, everybody. I thought this was a really appropriate topic to be covering on the 4th of July, and so that's why I decided to put out another episode this week. So you're going to get an episode today on Monday, as well as another one tomorrow on Tuesday, and a Friday episode. Three! Yay! I hope you enjoy. But if you're joining us for the very first time, hi, I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every week I bring you a new episode where I interview a different extraordinary mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. There are extraordinary moms all around us. They're the moms that have children with special needs. They're the moms that have typical children that have their struggles just like everybody else. There are moms that are dealing with physical challenges, mental challenges. All of these contribute to them just striving every day to do their best, to love and serve their families. So today we want to honor a special segment of mothers, and that is the military wives and mothers. And we want to thank you for the service and the sacrifice that that entails. And today I'm going to talk with my friend Alexis. Alexis is an Army wife, and since I became a Navy wife a couple of years ago, I really had this renewed camaraderie with her. We were friends growing up, but I love having this in common with her, and she's going to share about the difficulties and the blessings that come from being a military family. And it's not just the person serving that is being required to sacrifice so much. It's the whole family. It's the wife that's left behind to solo parent. It is, you know, worrying about your spouse in harm's way a lot of times. Military families are so amazing, and it's such an honor to be a part of this community where I've been able to see firsthand the commitment and the sacrifice required of military families. So happy 4th of July. We thank you for your service. And let's talk with Alexis and hear about her life as a military spouse. All right. Well, I am just so thrilled to be talking with my dear friend, Alexis Hawks Scheid. But I'm just going to call you Alexis because that's what I call you. Hi, Lex.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Where am I talking to you from today?
I'm in Colorado Springs.
How's the weather today?
Amazing. It's a little too windy, but I think we're close to 70 degrees over here right now, so
that's
awesome.
That's the best. We were both raised in California, in San Diego. That's where we met, and so that is the weather we're most comfortable at.
Yes.
That is our happy place. We are beach people, not snow people.
Definitely.
But now we've both lived all over the country and around the world for you, so we've had to get used to all sorts. Oh, well, I'm just so excited to talk with you, Alexis. Alexis and I met, I think we met in middle school, but really became close friends in high school. And we did choir together, and I was close to their family. And yeah, it's just really fun that our lives have come full circle, and now we're both military wives. Who would have thought it?
Yeah, for real.
But your husband is in the Army, mine's in the Navy, but still, we've had a lot of commonalities and common experiences now that we've both kind of lived this life. But I want you to go ahead and give an introduction on who is Alexis for our listeners.
Well, like you said, I was born and raised in California, obviously, right near you. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad raised me. I have four siblings. I always just enjoyed music and dancing and just being active and, you know, just a happy kid growing up. I went to BYU where I majored in marriage, family, and human development, and I only applied to one college. kind of a funny, I'm that type of person. I'm like, okay, I know I want to go here. I'm only applying to one, and luckily I got in.
Yeah.
And let's see. After I graduated, I moved back to San Diego where I worked for about a year and a half until I realized all of my friends were still in Utah. So I ended up back in Utah where shortly after I did meet my husband at church of all places, very exciting. And we married about a year later, and we married right after he graduated from basic training and right before he went into flight school.
So soon as you got married, you moved to where?
We went to Alabama. The day after we got married, we drove, I think it was like 25 hours or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, this long road trip and where we only knew each other.
Oh, my gosh.
It was fun, though. It was such a fun experience. I never would have expected that, but it was awesome for us because we just moved alone and we only had each other. And for the first month, we didn't even have furniture. And we literally camped out on the ground and played games and puzzles, watched movies on our laptop. It was just so fun.
Isn't that so fun to reflect upon, like, the simpler times where it's like, you didn't even need anything. You didn't need furniture. You could, like, rely on the simplest of games and whatever to keep you going, and you just needed each other. I think we need to remember that when our lives get too crazy.
Yes, I agree. And I do think, I always tell people it was the best thing we did. Not that we had an option,
yeah,
but it was so cool just to kind of disappear and bond and just be together.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
No, yeah. Totally. Absolutely. So now you have three children.
We do.
And you
have three children. And one that will hopefully be born any day.
And by the time this airs, the baby will already be born. But the kind of fun part is that you don't know what you're having.
Right, we don't. This will be our first surprise. Which,
why are you doing
that? Yeah, the husband. I was just going to say this was driven by my husband.
Okay.
And I know different people have different opinions about this, but we had never really, you know, talked about doing it. Actually, no, we did try with Harvey, our number three. Mm-hmm. But instead of waiting to find out with him, I ended up having the nurse write his gender on a piece of paper, and I sent it to Sam while he was in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
And so his Father's Day gift was opening up the envelope, and you know, we FaceTimed, and he was able to tell me and my family in London and Trip, our first two, what we were having. So,
oh, that's the best.
That was fun. It was another fun experience. We didn't find out till we were pretty far along with Harvey, so we did wait a while. But
yeah,
with this baby, we decided to go through with it and just wait it out. And it's been fun, and it hasn't been hard. Once I made the decision just to not know, I don't really think about it.
Yeah.
I have too much going on elsewhere in my life. So.
Yeah, that is such a fun thing. I don't think I could ever do it personally, but I love living vicariously through people that can handle that element of surprise. I think that's so fun.
I thought the same thing. I'm telling you, you could do it.
Okay.
Especially you would be busy enough that you probably would think about it just like me.
Yeah, I know. With each successive pregnancy, you're just like, you think about how far along you are less and less.
Because exactly.
You just don't have the time.
Right. That's totally right.
That is so awesome. So you have three little kids, one on the way. So fun. And what does your husband do in the military?
So my husband is a pilot. He is, for most people maybe aren't that familiar with the helicopters, but he's a Chinook pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a CH-47. It's the one with the two big rotors. It's kind of the biggest one that they have in the military.
That's awesome. And he loves that, right?
He does.
Loves his job.
He feels a bit of conviction, I think. He joined because he felt like it was kind of what he should do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been through a lot, had some really scary experiences, but overall he's had a lot of really cool experiences as well. And, you know, he's enjoyed his time in the military, and we don't know if we'll be in forever or how long his career will be, but yes, he does like it.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, when Pete joined the military, it was really hard at first because we were transitioning from just a regular civilian job. And, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into being a military family. And when you don't think that that's where your life is ever going to go, it's like, whoa, am I willing to make all these sacrifices? And is it worth it? And, you know, all those things. But for Pete, he felt like he really wanted to serve his country. And, I mean, that's really hard to argue with. Like, are you sure you want to serve your country? And so once we committed, you know, I just appreciate so much more. I mean, he doesn't have a dangerous job, and so, but families like yourself and with Sam's job and everything, and we have several friends that are families with pilots and whatnot, and I mean, there's just so much sacrifice and worry and willingness to do whatever, to be separated. You know, these deployments are so hard, and I just admire these military families so much. I hardly feel like we've given up that much, though.
Oh, well, you're sweet. But, I mean, you guys picked up and moved. That's a big deal.
That is hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, and you make a commitment. And I always tell people, once you're in the Army or the military, your life is really not your own.
Yeah.
Because they kind of they tell you where you go and kind of what you can do. And even, you know, with Sam, it's like he can't even go on vacation without telling someone where he's going.
Yeah.
He has to be you know, they have to know where he is at all times.
Right.
Which isn't bad, but it's definitely part of the job.
Right. No, exactly. And there's pros and cons of every job. And so the job he left, we were giving up some things that weren't so good about that job. So it is what it is. But the military has taken your family some interesting places. So you started out in Alabama, and that's where, is that where you had London?
Yes.
Okay. And then you moved somewhere far from Alabama. Where did you move?
Yes. So we were in Alabama, like you said, and yeah, we loved Alabama. It was super fun. We'd spend weekends at the beach in Florida because we were right near the coast. And obviously we welcomed London into the family at that point. We found out we were pregnant with number two, our little guy Trip there. So it was so fun. And we always thought it was so expensive to travel home. It was like $500 or $600 for a ticket to get back to Utah to visit family or, you know, wherever we were going. And so it was interesting when we got our next assignment, which was Germany. And then we realized how easy Alabama was to, you know, get back home. And it was so close. We were in the States. But Germany was amazing.
Yeah.
We were there for 4 years, which is a little bit longer than most people's assignments.
You didn't think you were going to be there 4 years to begin with, did you?
No, well, it was a 3-year assignment, and Sam got what they called stop moved because he deployed one time out of there to Afghanistan, and then he ended up deploying a second time. And because of that deployment, they stop move you and basically just change your orders and change the whole plan so that way he can stick with the unit who he's been training with.
Oh, got it. That makes sense. So what was it like when you first got there? Did you live on base?
No, we did not live on the base.
Tell me about where you lived.
Oh, okay. We, we lived in a town, like a small town, and we were the only Americans. We lived on a street of Germans, and we were the only Americans on that street. And, you know, there was on-base housing, but we were off, and, you know, we lived on the economy, as they say, and it was amazing. We loved our experience there. We traveled everywhere, almost, you know, at least a couple weekends out of every month we were traveling. Germany, the pilots there are really needed and very busy, so Sam was gone a lot. I mean, he did a lot of trainings, little missions, of course, deployed twice out of there. He'd have a month-long thing here or a week-long thing there. He'd go to Italy or, you know, just a different part of Germany, or he even went to Spain a couple times. So he was busy, which I think is good. I think if you're going to be a pilot, you want to be busy and you want to feel like you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it was just an amazing experience. We love the culture, the people. They work so hard. I love the German people. They're amazing.
What neat exposure. How was that, since he was gone a lot, how was that being a single parent in a foreign country for a lot of that time?
So we actually lived at what is called a beer garden. It's basically, it's a restaurant, and it's, they have kind of quite a few. I don't know if anybody that's traveled to Europe know, there's just all these little restaurants everywhere that are basically just run by, you know, whoever, like they don't have a ton of chain restaurants.
Yeah.
But so we lived above this restaurant, and our landlords cooked, served, they did everything. Like, they'd be up at 5 or 6 every single morning. You could hear them pounding out the meat and, like, preparing the food. You could smell the sauces and the stuff they were cooking. So they lived below us. And because of that, I honestly was never scared. I never felt alone. It was just really nice that we weren't in a single family home by ourselves, just somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was okay. And I loved the culture, loved, you know, exploring with the kids, and everyone was always really good to us. Like, I never felt scared or, you know, like people were unwilling to try to talk to us or, you know.
Yeah. That is so awesome. What a neat experience. And I mean, your kids remember it very well?
Yes, they do. And they still ask to go to Germany, you know. they want to go, and they'll remember certain places and be like, can we go here? And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's in Germany.
That's a little far for our weekend trip.
I know. We hope to bring everyone back maybe this year, maybe next, but we don't know how it'll be with all four, because that's hard to travel.
Right.
All four.
You're outnumbered for sure. That is so fun. What was the best part about living in Germany during that time?
I guess I'd have to say the best part was just, you know, the culture.
Yeah.
I always tell people, now that we're living back in the States in Colorado Springs, I really miss the European charm. Everywhere we went, everywhere we traveled, every restaurant we went to, it was just, everything was so charming and so unique and so different, and the culture was so fun. And here, it's great, but it's not as charming. I guess you could say.
It's easy.
It's not as beautiful.
Yeah, right. It's easy, but it's not as charming. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, along with that, just enjoying all of that, like the uniqueness of it, we just loved being able to travel because I never had the travel bug. Yeah. I never was, you know, hoping to go on some big European travel tour and backpack through wherever. But because of our station assignment, we traveled a ton and we saw so much that I never probably would have seen.
Yeah, you just have to take advantage of that while it's so convenient for you.
Totally.
That's so awesome. And then you also gave birth in a different country.
Yes.
What was that like? Did your doctor speak English?
He did. So they do it different there. My doctor spoke English, but he didn't deliver us. We had a midwife that delivered us. So basically, I mean, and that's how I think it is in most areas, at least in Germany.
Oh, okay.
We loved our doctor. We loved our midwife. A couple times we ended up with people that didn't speak English at all, so it was a little bit difficult. We'd get an English to German or German to English dictionary out and kind of try to communicate in the hospital. But, it was amazing. I loved my experience there. Trip was born. We did the water birth in the tub, and it was just really natural, which is kind of what I like to do anyways. And it was just a fun experience. They do things differently there, and I won't get into detail, but it's just fun to experience something different than what, you know, you're used to in the States.
But you felt like you were in a good hospital facility and it was like up to par, because I mean, you can't just expect to have a great level of care in just any country in the world. So, but Germany, you had a good experience.
Germany was great. And every doctor we saw, you know, any specialized doctor, like an ear, throat, and nose doctor, for example, that we saw a couple times, every doctor we saw there, we loved. Like, we really, really, they have great healthcare. And they're very, very thorough. That was one thing I loved about the healthcare there.
Yeah, so. That's awesome. So, for the times that Sam was gone for extended periods of time, be it just long tradings or deployments, what did you choose to do with your living situation?
So for the two deployments, because those were extra long, obviously, we moved back to the States, the kids and I, and we lived with my parents in Utah. And basically, just because we were living in a foreign country, it wasn't very easy for the kids to bond with family.
Yeah.
And so we just figured we'd move back and just be with family, let them bond, you know, be close to home or close to people that we loved, that we weren't with a whole lot. Because it's not easy for people to get to Germany, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
We enjoyed being with family during deployment. We felt well taken care of. I mean, there's always the difficult parts of it, as you can imagine. I mean, like moving back in with your parents, with your kids.
Yeah, it's a different thing than when you were younger.
So crazy. And for the most part, it was just so good. And I loved basically living with my parents after the fact with kids gave me the opportunity and the experience just to learn and grow and like develop in a different way.
Yeah.
As my parents' daughter and as my children's mother, I just grew in ways that I wouldn't have grown if we weren't learning to work together as like this big crazy family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is there something that you can pinpoint that you really took away from that experience?
I think it just contributed to me working with people better.
Yeah.
And learning just how I don't know how to work with people. And and also the other thing is I am so close with my parents, and I love that I had the opportunity to bond with them in those ways, because it obviously was such a unique bonding experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like our relationships are so much closer because of the chaotic.
Yeah.
Oh, we move in with you.
You did it
by
together.
The way, you know,
yeah.
We're gonna bring our kids with us, and don't worry, our kids might flood your house once while we live there, or, you know, just like crazy stuff where it was hard. It was harder in some ways because I felt bad that the kids were making messes in their house and not ours.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But my parents are the best when it comes to that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
They're so understanding, and, you know, they just wanted us to be happy and feel taken care of and not add any additional stress.
Yeah.
You know, it's stressful having Sam gone, obviously.
Yeah. And I think that's true probably for most people, that the mom, in your own role, you would feel more stressed and more self-conscious than say your parents would looking on as you're like, oh, you're being too loud, or oh, you're gonna break that, or you know, they're just like, calm down, it's okay. And so that's good to have that kind of support.
Totally. And you know, it is very hard on kids when, you know,
yes,
the husband, or I guess the dad, leaves. And London, Trip was only 6 months old, and London was, if he was 6 months, I mean, she wasn't two even.
Yeah.
So the first deployment, it was amazing because I didn't realize how difficult it would be on them, and how, even with how small they were, they had major behavioral changes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, like, London started having these fits, and she would take it out on me. Like, she was kind of mad at me.
Yeah.
And Trip, who was basically sleeping through the night, totally regressed, and he wasn't even close. He started waking up every 3 hours again. And so that kind of stuff was difficult. It was difficult for me, but then it was also difficult because, like, you know, bed routine, it was just harder. Like, they were fussier, and I always felt bad we were in my parents' house. But again, they were super understanding and helpful.
Yeah.
They understood that we were going through something crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's hard enough on you to, like, just attend to well-behaved children during the day on your own. But yeah, they're going to respond, and they're going to have their opinions, whether or not they truly can, you know, describe how they're feeling when their dad is gone for a long time. And it's like, what is going on? Why isn't dad here? Why is it just you again?
Totally.
And they're going to have feelings about that, and it's going to manifest itself in behavioral issues or sleeping or whatever it may be. And that's a lot to deal with all on your own.
It is. It's exhausting. It's always nice when Sam's home.
You really appreciate that. Yeah. Well, what would you tell to, you know, whether it's somebody that, you know, is a military family who might be dealing with a deployment right now, or might be a single mom for a different reason, what would you tell a mom that's kind of struggling through things on their own? That's a question I didn't tell you ahead of time. Sorry.
No, it's a good question. I'm trying to think really what I would tell them. I mean, I have a tendency to be, I think, pretty positive when it just comes to all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's one reason why I'm able to cope with it so well. But typically I would say, you know, things will end and things will get better.
Yeah.
But I, you know, you can't always say that to everyone. And, you know, if it's a military family, then yes, typically, you know, you're going to have your spouse home again eventually, and it will end. And then you'll look back and just wonder, what? We went through that? And it's almost like it never happened. You know? I mean, you remember it, and you remember how hard it was, but then, you know, things fade and you realize, okay, like, we got through it. And for us, our family, it made our family stronger, I think. Mm-hmm. So
it's worth it.
I know that's not the case for everyone, but
yeah,
I think typically things will look up, you know,
after
a while, but there's always hard moments, I think, in everyone's lives.
For sure. Pete was gone just for 5 months of training. And so for that time, when it was just me and the two boys, I just felt like when I lowered my expectations, like, I wasn't going to fail. Like, if my expectations were super high, I was going to fall short every day. Like, there was no way to, like, keep up with that. The house was never going to be clean enough. The meals were never going to be. But it's like, what is really important? That my kids feel loved, safe, happy, and that, like, their mom is not totally insane. And so if I can just, like, bring that down and, like, meet those needs, anything else, a well-rounded meal, you know, a bath every other night, you know, like, those things are just kind of icing on the cake. If the toys get picked up, fabulous. If they don't, it's really not the end of the world. But just lowering those expectations so you can feel a little more successful because you did what really mattered during the day. That helped us.
I agree with you. I think expectations are basically everything in life, because you can set yourself up for success or failure based on, obviously, what you're expecting.
Yeah.
And another thing that struck a chord with me, with, you know, the stuff you just said, is as long as the kids are happy and taken care of. And for me, I've said that so many times to my husband or to my parents, even though the kids go through hard times, they're so happy. Like, they're laughing 90% of the day, you know. They're running, they're happy, they're so taken care of, they feel so loved. And that is, like, really all we can do.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, especially if Sam's going to be gone. And it's hard for them. They'll still ask him sometimes, well, how many bedtimes are you leaving
for?
You know, like, if he's even just going to work for the day. So they're a little bit, jaded in that way because they don't really like it when
right.
he leaves, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're happy kids and they're well taken care of. They're healthy and, you know, they have so many people that love them, and that's obviously the most important. And what you're saying, taking care of the basic needs, and for sure, I go into survival mode, what you're saying. When Sam's gone, like, I stop doing most extra stuff because I simply can't keep up and I can't be stretched too thin or else I'm not a good mom.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be a good mom, at least, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And even for two-parent households, everyone goes through seasons where they're just busy and there's just a lot of balls in the air. And for those seasons, you need to, like, give yourself a pass on some of these things that aren't as important. And those things will come back into play later. But for this season, you just need to do what you need to do to make sure the kids are feeling as stable as they can, happy, healthy, loved, and you just got to keep going.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. And I know, like you're saying, different factors play into things. Because even right now, Sam, I mean, obviously is home a lot and it's wonderful, but I'm pregnant and we have more children this time. And it's like, you know, I work part-time. There's just stuff my life is so crazy right now that if he was gone, I obviously would have to, you know, potentially decide, okay, what's most important. I probably can't do it all.
Yeah.
But it is. It's crazy even having him here right now. I'm always excited for him to get home from work. And, you know, there are a few people deployed from his unit right now. And luckily he didn't leave. But I always think, oh, gosh, I can't even go there. If he was leaving right now, I would be a total mess, you know?
Yeah. So even having had the experience where you've done it successfully twice before, I mean, it never gets easier. You never think, oh, okay, it's just one more or whatever. Like, it's hard every time. And you never want it to happen, but you just deal with it as it comes, right?
Right, totally. And your emotional state, like for me, pregnancy, because the second deployment was much harder because I was pregnant the whole time and sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, and right now, again, like emotionally, I don't feel strong. Like if he was leaving, it wouldn't be a great time. But I always think, okay, if I wasn't pregnant in 4 or 5 months, once things kind of settle down, I think I could probably, okay, I can do this, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely, there's never a good time
for
stuff like that.
No, there's not. Hey, I want you to tell me about, so you were expecting to give birth to your third, Harvey, while he was deployed, and you were expecting him not to be at the birth. I want you to tell me what happened with that and how those plans changed.
Okay, well, so we had basically a service project organized for Sam's unit. So we were putting together all these stockings, and we were doing great stockings. Like, we got tons of donations from neighbors and just people that wanted to be involved, and we were doing real great stuff.
iTunes
gift cards. We were all excited.
So this is in Utah. So you're staying with your family in Utah. He's deployed in Afghanistan or wherever he's flying at the time.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
You got that right.
Yes.
It was with our church. That's how it all began. But somebody in the church was, you know, it was their idea, and they wanted my dad and I to kind of help run it because we know the unit. We obviously knew Sam.
Fairly well,
so,
yes.
So we took over, and we had this service project planned for a certain night. And my dad came to me a few nights before, and he said one of his friends is, I'm not sure what position he has at the KSL News. I think it was KSL News. But he's like, this is a story they totally want to cover. This is just the type of stuff they're into. You know, this cool service project for this unit that's in Afghanistan. They're going to be there for Christmas. We're sending them stockings. All this stuff. So I told my dad, I was like, well, I would rather not be on the news because, you know, I'm huge pregnant. And I mean, I'd rather avoid that. If they'd like you on, it'd be more, I'd rather you go on and talk to him about it. And you know, cause he said they want to interview you. So that night, they kind of, you know, they come early, they get me all set up with these headphones. Cause of course they want to talk to me, not my dad.
Yeah.
So we're going through the whole evening, people are signing cards and stockings and all this stuff. And they're talking to me about how my husband's going to miss the birth and how, you know, how was the first deployment. They're asking all sorts of questions. And well, you know, lo and behold, comes Sam walking up the street in his uniform. And this was clearly the reason why they wanted to cover the news or cover the story, is because Sam came home from Afghanistan and surprised us and was able to be, you know, there for the birth of our third child, Harvey. So it was kind of a crazy experience.
You were that couple being surprised. I mean, we've seen, you know, hundreds of those YouTube videos of, you know, military spouses surprising their kids or spouses or whatever. You were that story for that moment. Yeah. Oh,
totally.
What was that like?
Oh, it was, I had a lot of mixed emotions because I was, you know, in a way where you just feel unprepared.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't even showered that day. And I kept thinking, I really need to shower because I'm going to be on the news. But I didn't have time, which, as I'm sure you understand, a mother of three, you just sometimes, you skip. Yeah. You're like, all right, I'm going to bag that. Even when you have something important, you should shower for it.
Right. So,
and my mom was being weird about the outfit I was wearing. Actually, no, my mom didn't even know now that I think about it. My dad didn't tell anyone.
So it was just your dad that knew.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, okay. So my mom knew I was going to be on the news, obviously, but not that Sam was coming. So that's probably why she was being funny.
Yeah.
I think I was probably not looking so great. Anyways, so yeah, it was crazy though. It's just weird. It's kind of like what we were discussing before about expectations. I was crazy, shocked, excited. It was, I mean, obviously so great. And then, whoa, I'm not ready. Like, maybe I should go in and shower and change my clothes or something.
Oh, that is just such an amazing... Do you have that video clip still? I'm sure you do.
Yes, okay. I have... Well, I have the link to it, so I'll send you the link.
We'll put it in the show notes, because it's just one of those precious, precious moments. And no one will judge you for not showering. That's fine.
Okay. That's good to know.
Oh, that is just the best. I mean, like we've been talking about this whole time, there's pros and cons of every job and military life. Seems like more sacrifice than other jobs, but I mean, if you really like break it down, a lot of jobs have really hard parts to them. What would you say are the best parts of military life and then the hardest parts?
So for me, in general, I love the military.
Yeah.
It's a total foreign lifestyle to me. Even still, I'm not totally used to it. Obviously we've been married over 6 years and I'm getting better at it. But it's still so different from the way I was raised and, you know, kind of what I expected for my life.
Yeah.
But I do love moving around, actually. I love the adventure and I love finding these cool new places. And, you know, I've loved everywhere we've been. And so that's been fun because there's so much to explore. And it's almost like you get, we've been in Colorado for almost a year and I'm like, oh, where are we going next?
Yeah.
I want to explore somewhere new. But, no, I love that. And obviously we've made so many good friends along the way. And those are just kind of priceless parts of the job that you don't get any other way. And also the military is in a way, there's obviously parts that they're not good at. But military people in general are so good at taking care of each other.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised at baby showers thrown by people I barely know. You know, gifts, people visiting us in the hospital. When London was born, we had people in and out of the hospital the entire time we were there. I mean, tons of people visiting us, you know?
Yeah.
And none of them were family.
Yeah.
So I do love that aspect of the military. I think it's pretty unique.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what would you say is the hardest part?
Definitely the hardest part is just the separations that we deal with. Obviously, deployments that are extremely difficult. You know, like saying goodbye, you probably experienced something similar. But when Sam was leaving for Afghanistan the first time, it was just all these emotions I just didn't even expect to experience. I think we both cried literally the entire night. I was so tired and just felt so, it was like this emotional pain that I didn't even realize I would feel, you know?
Yeah.
And because especially with children, I always tell people the hardest part of the deployment is me watching my children go through, you know, the hard stuff, not having Sam around and watching them say goodbye and watching how difficult it is for Sam to say goodbye.
Right.
So those separations clearly are like the hardest for sure.
What do you think your kids are learning by being part of a military family?
You know, everyone always talks resiliency and I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. They are really resilient. And I think because during both deployments, they lived somewhere really fun where they were really well taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, they had grandparents, Mimi and Poppy, just spoiling them and taking care of them and, you know, reading stories to them and wanting to just love them.
Yeah.
And so I think because they were so well taken care of during both deployments and had some fun memories, like stuff that kind of distracted them from what was going on, I think that they did okay, you know? And I think that they've realized, I mean, I guess resiliency thing is just kind of what comes to mind. Like, they know they're good. They're good travelers. They're good with change. I can't tell you how many times we've had friends where they're trying to get their children to go and the children are having little fits. Like, they don't want to leave. Right.
Yeah.
I always think our kids never do that. They're really good. They're usually pretty good about just like, okay, it's time to go. Or,
right,
you know,
right,
they don't get overly attached, but of course they have attachments and good relationships with people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what the best way is to answer that.
Yeah. No, I think that's so true. I think, children that are asked to move around a lot become very adaptable, and you know, it can be hard on certain personalities for sure. And I think that's my main worry. It's like every child is so different. And so while some children may be able to cope really easily with moving around a lot, making new friends and starting new schools, my fear is for that one child that just doesn't handle that as well. And thankfully I'm not seeing that so much in my kids yet, but that is one of my fears. But then also they're given that opportunity, even if that is one of their weaknesses, to become strong in that, because it's like, you know, if we give them the support necessary to be able to, you know, embrace change and give them a positive outlook on, look at all these new friends we get to make. Look at this new area we get to explore, these new languages, you know, like, wow, what a great opportunity.
It is. You're absolutely right. And, that is also one of my fears, just kind of what you're describing, because our kids aren't in school yet.
Yeah.
And we haven't moved them around during school.
Right.
Like school years, because they've all been too young. London will start kindergarten this year here in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And that is one of my biggest fears, especially for my little one Trip. I feel like he's shyer. He has a hard time, you know, going to church class on his own or,
right,
you know, that kind of stuff. So he's like kind of the one I worry about. And of course I want stability for the kids. So we'll have to see how that goes. And, you know, in the next few years, kind of how they handle it. Cause I definitely want our children to feel stable and feel like they can have these roots and have these relationships that aren't just going to be ripped apart, you know, every couple of years. So that's definitely a tough part of it.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say moving to Virginia from California was way harder on me than it was for my kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's so
I'm
embarrassing,
sure.
But they're just so present. And it's like, oh, do you miss your friends in preschool? Oh, yeah, but I have these friends in preschool. Oh, do you miss going to that park? Well, we can go to this park. You know, like, okay, Jessica, just like be a little more present and like, it's okay to be in the moment and it's fine to reminisce and reflect and be like, oh, that was a neat thing, and you can go back and revisit that time. But there's also something to be said for moving forward and experiencing new things too.
No, you're totally right. And I think part of that is what you're saying. The way we handle it directly reflects how our children handle it.
If we're negative, and they will be anxious and negative. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And if you're not happy where you are, they won't be happy. And I think jumping in, exploring new places, like, you know, every area, every place that you could possibly live, I think will have awesome qualities.
Yeah.
And you just have to find that. And you just have to, you know, jump in and make friends and enjoy it. And your children will follow.
Absolutely. 100%. Alexis, you are so awesome. And I think you are so well suited for this lifestyle, because for as long as I've known you, you've always been so positive, and you just kind of like buck up and do what you need to do and just make the most of whatever stage you're in, place you're in. And I just admire that so much about you. And that's why I wanted to have you on today.
Well, you're very sweet. I don't know if that's all true, but
you're super
nice. I feel like I can handle it. I feel like it's, you know, there's obviously a lot of wonderful things about it and hard things too, but I definitely think that the outlook that you have on life, expectations, as we discussed earlier, and then just the way you look at things, and there's always positive to find in everything you're doing. And I do have to say, I know a lot of military spouses that aren't really happy anywhere they go.
Yep.
And, you know, Sam and I, my husband and I will discuss it, and I just think, gosh, it's only hurting you. And if you can just be happy and find the positive in wherever you are in life, it's just, you know, it will make you and your family so much happier.
That is such a good point, Alexis. And that's not just true for military families. You see that in, you know, various people all stages of life and in all professions, that you get to choose how you respond to where you're at in life, and your attitude can take you a long way. And if you are feeling like you're always getting bottom of the barrel jobs or, you know, things aren't going your way. You know, it's kind of like, it's time to be a little self-reflective. What can I do to be proactive to kind of make the most of the situation? It may not change entirely. There may be some really crummy things about it. But what can I do to be proactive to make it a little more enjoyable, a little more pleasant? And that will definitely rub off on your kids as well.
You're totally right. Huge. Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. I try not to let it be, but kind of like the woe is me personality. Yeah. Where they kind of are so worried about how everything is affecting them. And obviously I think it's damaging and I know it's hard. I know I go through phases where I'm like worried about, you know, the way things are affecting me, or I'm more, you know, worried about myself, which I'm sure everyone goes through that here and there, but it's so important just to realize, you know, don't compare your life to anyone else's, and don't be thinking people are out to get you, or, you know, it's just life. There are a lot of wonderful opportunities in life and a lot of awesome things. And you just obviously have to focus on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You are so awesome. So what is next for Alexis Scheid? You have a baby on the way. So are you just counting down the days, and what's next in this year for you?
Yeah, well, the year, we never really know what our years are going to be filled with. But obviously, you know, our baby will take up some time of that. We did get a little puppy probably a month and a half ago. So that's been fun and also a lot of work.
You didn't have enough going on. Yeah.
No, we didn't. But I mean, she's a really good little pup. We're enjoying her. Uh-huh. And Sam just told me yesterday he has to go to what's called an advanced course.
Oh.
And it's like a 6-week long thing. And they're trying to get him to go at the end of March. So we have a few week old baby.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
But we don't know for sure when he'll go to that. That'll be sometime in the next little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's always the chance he's been told by his battalion commander to be ready to go because they might need people in Poland. They actually might need people in Germany. They're basically on call all the time. So we don't know what will happen. But right now it's looking like it might be one of our more mellow years. So we'll see.
Well, I'll hope that for you guys for sure.
Yes,
I just love this. And whether or not, as a listener, you are a military family or not, I hope that the takeaways are that you can do harder things than you think you can. And you can make the most of, you know, situations that are not ideal. And you can embrace new situations that may provoke some anxiety in you. You can embrace those with a lot of joy and anticipation that maybe some new goodness is on the horizon and whatnot. Okay, I always end each interview with this question, Alexis. This is our final question. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I feel like that's a hard question.
It is.
I guess what I would say to that question is I changed as a mother from after having number two to number three, something changed in me, and you've had three, so I don't know if this is something you dealt with as well, but I realized that I became a little bit easier going for and realizing once you go from two to three, for me, I obviously didn't have complete control anymore.
Yeah.
Because with just two, everything just seemed easy. Like they were easy. I was right on top of them. I knew exactly what they were doing at all times, for example. And something changed within me. And I thought, this is a good change though. You know, I've become easier. I'm more focused on what's important. Not that I wasn't before, but you start to realize, okay, maybe my child can crawl through the dirt and I won't die, or the child won't die. You know, like there was just something about that. It was like a switch flipped and I realized I liked myself better as a mom after number three. I thought I was a good mom before, and I had my priorities right, but I liked that change. And you know, a crying baby isn't gonna freak me out so much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that, where I feel like I maintain the levels better or something. I don't know.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think, the sooner we can learn what things really matter a lot and which things don't matter so much. And it may not always be the things that are most apparent. We may think that keeping a really tidy house is super important, but when you realize what's more important, sitting on the couch and reading with your children, or giving them a snuggle, or tucking them in for a longer period of time, or going to hurry to do the dishes, Like, when you start weighing those in the balance, things become clearer. And it did definitely take me until number three to really kind of soften my approach and up my enjoyment in the moment and in being present, like with my baby, just like taking the time with him. And then any time when the baby was down, really enjoying the time with the other two, because that time was so limited. Whereas before it was like with the two, it was like so easy and they just kind of wanted to play together. And I was kind of sitting back like, do your thing. Like, okay. But yeah, I think that's huge. And the earlier you can, it's hard to get to that place, but the earlier you can believe somebody else who says you can get to that place, the better. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Yeah. And I love what you said, up the enjoyment. Like, yep. Really, live in the moment and enjoy every moment you can, because everyone always tells you it goes by so fast. Yep. And, you know, once your kids start school, it's like, oh, no, they aren't home all the time anymore. And so I know we're all going to look back and realize, well, you know, the advice was true.
Yep.
And as quickly as you can learn that all those little small things don't matter and you just have the bigger picture, then it is more fun too.
It is.
You're a more fun mom. And that, I guess that might be one thing, if I could somehow learn that quicker.
Yeah.
That would be cool. You know, if you knew that right from the beginning and you were good at it, instead of stressing about, you know, people, even just people holding your baby or wanting to help or just all those little things that as a newer mom, you kind of feel a little more paranoid about.
Right.
And you're not maybe as, I don't know what the word is, but you just maybe aren't as open.
Yeah.
But it would be fun. But I know that stuff takes experience and time to figure out.
It does. So don't beat yourself up if you're a new mom and you're feeling so overwhelmed and like it's the hardest thing ever. Because just calm and believe other people that it will get easier and you can find enjoyment even when things don't necessarily get easier in their circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, Alexis, you're so awesome. And I just admire you so much as a mom. And just thanks for sharing your perspective. I just think that's so inspiring.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're
it was
awesome.
Fun to be with you and to chat with you. Yay. And it was fun to reflect on some of this stuff.
I know.
And to go over some of these things that you sent that I should think about. It was fun to kind of just reflect on that as a wife, mother, and individual and be able to think about these things for a second.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of my guests feel that way. Like, how often are we given the opportunity to like really dwell on motherhood and invest time in like reflecting upon where we've come along this journey and really think about our priorities and values and acknowledge that we're doing a pretty good job.
Totally.
So I
think
love
it's
it.
A great thing. I think more of us should do it. You should have something on your website or something where people just, you know how they say like journaling, writing things down helps your mind be clearer and help you kind of focus more on the important things. I think it's awesome. So thank you.
Good. You are so welcome. Well, thanks for being on today. And by the time this airs, you'll have a new baby in your arms and, I'll wait to record the ending to this because I would love to announce what you have and what you named your baby because that will just be thrilling.
Yes. No, that'd be so
Yay!
Fun.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thanks, Alexis. And hugs to all of your kids. And if anybody wants to see cute photos of your family, they can go to the website and check you out there.
Awesome.
Thanks
Alexis. So much, Jessica.
All
fun
right.
Chatting.
Good luck. See ya.
Okay.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
How much do you admire Alexis? Here she is, dealing with uncertainty, moving all around the world, her husband's gone for prolonged periods of time, and she has the best outlook. She just loves her kids, loves her role as a mom, and just keeps so many balls in the air. I mean, it is just so impressive to me. So I thank Alexis for sharing her perspective on motherhood and that we can make the most of even situations that are not very easy at the time, but a positive attitude goes a long way. I'm also happy to report that recording this podcast was one of the last things she got to do before she gave birth. She went into labor a few hours after we recorded, and a few hours after she went to the hospital, she had baby Bodie. She had a boy. So now she has one girl and three boys. And I have three boys, so I think that's just awesome. So baby Bodie arrived, and we are just so excited for them. So congratulations to Alexis. We hope that baby Bodie is settling in, giving you lots of rest at night, and that all the kids are excited to welcome their new baby brother. As always, you can find out more information about the podcast on the extraordinarymomspodcast.com. or you can follow me on Instagram, JessicaDahlquist3. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode and that you had a great 4th of July. I will see you tomorrow for another episode with another extraordinary mom.